on this morning, I ask you to please walk with me again as we meditate on what Matthew shares with us in his gospel, chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. ASK again. Ask, seek, knock. The ask, the ASK principle. Those that have an ear to hear, let us now hear the magnificent, the majestic, the marvelous wisdom of God. Chapter 7, St. Matthew, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receive, and they that seek find, and to them that knock it shall be opened. Again, I pray that the Holy Spirit will transform us by the renewing of our minds to hear clearly and comprehend the wisdom set before us. I pray that the Holy Spirit will empower us to do greater works from the undisputed victory through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, unto his greater glory that is being revealed through us as his dear and new creations. I pray in this hour that we all will experience the transparency that leads to transformation and triumph through Christ Jesus. Amen. Today I focus on the word, the wisdom of the Lord Jesus, the Logos, that captures our attention to seek, and you shall find. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus has that in the middle. Ask, seek, knock. He has the seeking in the middle between asking and knocking. I am certain that, you know, many of us, we've heard and possibly we have considered this particular text from the lens of our religious indoctrination, our religious upbringing, our training, and perhaps many, and maybe I might be the only one, but maybe you too, you know, we at least for me, approach verses 7 and 8, possibly from the perspective of material gain or from the perspective of human achievement, human accomplishment. For me, personally, they have been the two verses that have somewhat provided that license, if you will, to pursue self-gain and personal profit under the umbrella of following Christ. You're not doing anything wrong. You're just simply seeking as commanded by Christ to obtain. And traditionally, I've thought about it from those two perspectives. And in a manner of speaking, even though the word manifest destiny, and I invite you the opportunity to study that phrase, manifest destiny, and what it means in America, right? That term, that phrase, manifest destiny, was not spoken specifically in the Church of God by faith. As I grew up, especially when these two verses were presented and were reflected upon. But still, there was this kind of overall tone of the manifest destiny, you know, that God had commissioned and licensed the saints to become more prosperous as the end game of asking, seeking, and knocking. But we've seen this over the last 2 weeks, and especially in my own personal family. That life, Job experienced life. Life has a way of bringing bringing us to a profound and a humbling reality that all of the things that we can achieve, all of the things that we can obtain, all of the accolades and the awards that can be bestowed upon us, all of it is nothing more than dumb. That's all it is. It's just stuff. When life presents setbacks that could not be avoided, when life presents disappointments that were not anticipated, when we experience letdowns that we have not prepared for, it is nothing but dumb. In the midst of all of the setbacks and the disappointments and the letdowns, but in all things, we are to give thanks and praise unto God. Not for it, but in it. While we are in it in real time, that's the time that we should not run out of gas. Hallelujah. GAS, gratitude, attitude, service. We can't run out of gas when we meet up. And it's facing us in our own. We're right there, face to face, and we're right there at the setback, and we're right there at the letdown. We're right there at the disappointment. We can't run out of gas. We can't run out of a humbled gratitude. We can't run out of a faithful attitude. We can't run out of a loving and living service for our Lord and for one another. We can't run out of gas, family. We got to count it all joy. That's what James preaches to us. Count it all joy when we fall into diverse, different temptations, different tests. Count it all joy when we fall. Not if we fall, but when we fall in different setbacks and different letdowns. Different disappointments in life, count it all joy. And it's tough to do that. I'm not saying that it's easy. But count it all joy, count it all joy. And this morning, I share with you, and I'm preaching to myself, that I believe that God allows all of it, the disappointments, the setbacks, to let down. God allows all of it to happen as an opportunity to refocus, and to reposition ourselves, to reevaluate our situations, and really begin to comprehend what is of value to us. This morning, we should pause and meditate upon, in the context of seeking and finding, what are we seeking and finding that truly is of value? What is of value to us? It is so easy for me, and perhaps you can relate to it as well, but it is so easy to seek more money. It is so easy to seek more fame and fortune. It is so easy to seek for more likes on my Instagram page. But what do we seek actually that is of value when measured against the truth? And I'm not talking about truth from the perspective of a concept. I'm talking about truth that we know is Christ Jesus, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes, no woman comes to the Father but by me. So what do we seek that actually is of value when measured against the truth of eternity? Just think about that. Think about that. Looking at eternity and we're evaluating things, whatever we are seeking and finding right now, what actually is of value? Now, please don't get me wrong. Our Father knows. He's sovereign, and he's in control. He's all wise. He's all knowing. He's all powerful, and he's everywhere all at the same time. Our Father knows exactly what we need. He knows, even before Maslow came to it, God already knew what Maslow identified as the lowest level of the pyramid. So he already knows that we need food. God already knew that. God already knew that we needed clothing and we needed shelter. God already knew we needed a job. We may have missed it, but if you look even in the garden, hallelujah, God had already provided what we needed to exist on an earthly plane. He knew that man and woman, they needed food, so he planted a garden for them. He knew man and man himself, Adam, he knew he needed to be active, so he gave him an assignment to keep and dress the garden. He knew that man needed a job, so he gave him one. He knew man, hallelujah, that man, Deacon Hepburn, he knew that men didn't need to be alone, so he gave Adam a help meet. Thank God that he saw our need, and he gave us a help meet. Deacon Hepburn, and he knew that man and woman, he knew what they needed to the point that it's interesting to me that he knew that they didn't need clothes because God was their covering of righteousness. And then when they failed, God knew that they did need clothes because sin had exposed them. So God became their personal tailor. Hallelujah. He became there. Hallelujah. Ralph Lauren, if you will, Hart, Schaffner, and Mark. Hallelujah. God became all of that as a personal tailor. And in Genesis chapter 3, verses 21, we read, unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Before the fall, they didn't have to worry about clothes, but thank God in his grace, even after the fall, he provided them with a covering. Thank God right now for the covering of grace and mercy that is upon our lives. So before the fall, Adam and the woman had every need met and even more because they had every earthly need met, but they also had God himself. They were living in paradise. They had food prepared by God, and more importantly, hallelujah, they had unhindered face-to-face, absolute direct contact and relationship with God, hallelujah. But we know the story. They began to seek, and they also found it too. But they began to seek and did find that which has no value, because their perspectives had been influenced by beautiful deception, by seductive merchandising and advertising. Their perspective been influenced and changed in a way that became at odds with God's will. And because their optics were skewed by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, although they had the one, God himself, they had the one, and they had everything else that they needed, they were lured away because of the false advertising. They were lured away to a life of diminishing returns. So family, I'm just sharing with you, but preaching to myself, what do we value? Family, who do we value? This week, maybe I should say the last couple of weeks, you know, has been an extraordinary week for my extended family, from the east to the west, from Hurricane Ian to unexpected death. And in my family, within the span of less than 2 weeks, from Florida to California, we have had to be hit with the diminishing returns that often accompany this life. And it's made me realize even more clearly, after the hurricane, after the impact of the storm, what do we value? After the flood of life, what do we value? After the fire burns down the house, what do we value? After the me Holy Ghost, after the loss of a loved one, hallelujah, what do we value? We need to think about it now. What do we value? What do we value? All of our efforts and all of our energy exerted into the accumulation of the symbols of success and prosperity. But what does it actually mean in the reality of the eternity? Who was, who is, and who is soon to come? Right on, King Jesus. Right on, right on, right on, King Jesus. But just like Adam and Eve, we went to the tree. We partook of the fruit, and our eyes became open. But after all of that, and now what? Eyes are open, but now what? We find ourselves after the love is gone, if you will. God has distanced himself away from us. We don't have the opportunity to walk with him like we used to in the cool of the day. After the love is gone, when we find ourselves, we will find ourselves hiding behind the tree of so-called prosperity because of our disobedience to God's will. It ain't my will. It ain't your will, but it's God's will. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be in alignment with just God's will. And if we're not in alignment with his will because we've caved into the false advertising, the beautiful deception of sin, we find ourselves hiding behind so-called advancement. We can find ourselves hiding behind so-called promotion. We can find ourselves hiding behind so-called success. Our eyes have become open to become little gods. And yet we have lost who we need because of what we wanted in a moment in time. And in that moment in time, when the storm comes, when the winds blow, when the floods have moved beyond the shore and beyond our front doors, what do we value then? When the symbols of success, the symbols of prosperity become the images of defeat and despair, what do we value then? As I bring this back around, let me share it with you as I preach to my own self. Seek you first. 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 The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek you first. Not what, but seek you first who? Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek him. Seek him in the morning time. Seek him in the noonday. Seek him in the evening. Seek him in the midnight hour. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him early. Seek him late. Seek him in the middle. Just seek him. Seek the kingdom of God first. His righteousness. Let us seek him in everything that we do. Just seek him when we're flooded out. Seek him when we're burnt out. Seek him when they are tripping on your jaw. Just seek him when they are talking about you. In church, seek him when they got your money and they don't pay you no mind. Seek him first. To my family, to the family that's with me right now on the line and will be joining later, because they're going to get the message. And especially to the McKnight family. Even as we agree in the face of an untimely and unexpected death. It's untimely and it's unexpected from our human perspective, but we know that God remains sovereign. But I pray that as we are grieving right now and we are faced with adversity, I pray that through it all that we just seek him, because that's where we're going to find our comfort. That we love him, that we adore him, that we worship him, that we praise him. And when we do, then, hallelujah, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my faith and turn from their wicked ways, then will I, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal. Oh my God. And heal their land. So we need to be healed. So we're going to love him. We're going to adore him. We're going to worship him. We're going to praise him. And then help us, Holy Ghost. And then right then, and now faith then, in by grace and through faith then, right then, we shall find him, we shall find him, so that when we have lost what we have obtained, when we have lost those who we love on this side, we shall find comfort and peace from him who has redeemed us as his blood purchased and valued vessels of Christ. And I close with this. I close with it from Psalm 8. For such a time as this. And I read from the NIV. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind? What is Avery? What is those who are listening to me now? What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angel and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim the path of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name
in
all the earth.
How majestic. Yes,
Lord. Oh, Lord, my God, when I'm in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my sea, dear God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.